and I guess I'll have to experiment. I guess what have I cut from the front, I have to extend it for the back, but as long as I have that same 64 feet or something, as long as I have that, I guess it's okay as, you know, to move to center somewhere.
Absolutely. As you move at center, the impedance will start climbing. But if your antenna tuner has enough range to it, or if it's an old-fashioned rig with a Pi network that's got a tuning and loading control, no problem. And if you look up the word Wyndham, you'll find popular designs where people have done that. Good luck with that project, Robert. Come back to Future TechNet and let us know how it worked. Now that I'm hearing you directly on the Force 147.375, you sound good. I was hearing you by whatever means before, your audio was quite low. Let me pick up with Kent. He's essentially outside of Dallas, Texas, in Grand Prairie, Texas. The V5EJB. What's going on down there, Kent? T2RIW.
RIW, W85EJB, after 4 hours. Oh, well. Boy, you had another guy in Connecticut kept trying to check in, and he got a little frustrated, never dropped. The Krauss was a first...
Oh-ho! 1950 McGraw-Hill. So the book you picked up called Antennas by Krauss, it was 1950 McGraw-Hill, first edition, and it's got sort of a maroon-colored cover. A typical old-fashioned textbook of McGraw-Hill. Is that true?
Also got a 1948 book on television. And they even have the diagrams for the three-gun color TV and a 1948 book on television. A few vintage ones there.
Okay, so the flea market you went to on Saturday, you picked up some goodies. I know that the machine has to drop completely before you can pick up. I think I'm allowed to pick up before it drops and you can still hear me. Is that true?
W2RY.
Every time you key the mic, I hear you, Dick.
Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, when he's coming in to the on the internet like that, if you're on 146.85, just letting the thing reset with the beep is not enough time for someone on the internet to come through. They can't get through from the East repeater, and you can't get through from IRLP on the reflector. It's not enough time. You need about a good 2 seconds delay for it to really get through. Anything less than that, and you block guys all the time.
That's correct.
So you were hearing people on either the internet connection or you're hearing them through 147.375 when you were hearing them trying to call in and I wasn't hearing them on 85. Which way were you hearing them, Joe? Go ahead.
Sometimes I can hear people on the internet because that's the channel I'm coming in on. I'm coming into the IRLP on Reflector 9126. And when you are talking on 146.85, and if you don't leave any time, but any kind of reasonable time delay, and you hear the beep and you pick up immediately after the beep, that's still not enough time. You cut the IRLP off, and you cut anybody coming in off 146.375 out east. It's because 146.85 has priority. So somebody coming in from 147.375 out in Selden gets cut off all the time off from the IRLP. You got to remember that when you're running the TechNet.
Okay, so periodically I got to give people warning that, hey, I'm going to drop for 3 solid seconds. You want to get through by IRLP or 375, come through now. Would that work in your opinion, Joe?
I don't know if the transmitter has to completely drop, but no, at least on IRLP, that's enough time for it to get through and be heard on both repeaters.
Okay. And how are things down there in Texas, Kent? The good news that I'm hearing is that the whole country is going through a kind of a recession. I hear that there's almost no recession in the Gold Star in the Lone Star State. Is that true? In the Independent Republic of Texas. W5EJB, K2LIW.
The Republic of Texas is sufficient. Yeah, we're pro business down. Watched the space shuttle go by a few minutes into the net, and about 20 minutes later went out and watched the space station go by. It's quite bright tonight. It'll be very, very bright when the shuttle attaches, and then even brighter again when they add the... I was working on the heat rejection system, which was built here in Grand Prairie. I decided to stretch it out, and I got laid off. So it goes back ways. And, you know, my son-in-law got a job this last week, nuclear reactors again. Staying busy. I've certainly got more than enough work to take care of, and, we have a different attitude. Over.
Sounds good. The last I heard, you were digging up the concrete on the slab of your house to try to find the water leak, and you were going to do some more digging. Has your excavation hit some pay dirt?
There we go. You and Mel were really fast on the trigger tonight. Very fast. You guys didn't let it drop at all. There is a photograph in your inbox. I feel like I'm in Stalag 17 trying to dig a tunnel, get out underneath the wire. So we've done some serious digging. We've not found the leakage yet.
Wow. Now, you have found the pipe, but just not the section that leaks, or you haven't even found the pipe that has the leak. Go ahead.
We haven't found the pipe, which just blows us away because we're sitting here looking at it in pictures that we're taking it, and we're going like, we're there where it's supposed to be. Done some very, very serious digging. A bucket full of dirt in the picture, that's one of six.
Wow. So they're digging up the hall of your house, the concrete slab in the hall. By now, I am guessing you've got a hole that's, what, 3 or 4 feet in diameter, all the way through that concrete slab. Your house must look beautiful while you're looking for this leaking pipe that's underneath the slab. It's supposed to be in the dry dirt under your slab, and I presume it's a copper pipe. Wow. Got to be some other way of finding the pipe. Now, you've used acoustic detecting equipment that allow you to say, aha, that's where the sound of the leak is coming from. And the leak makes some kind of a squeaking sound that your acoustic detecting equipment detected. You slid it around the floor, you found the maximum sound. Therefore, you were fairly sure you were standing right over the leak. Looks like some kind of a curve is being thrown in here. And by the way, how do you know when you're being picked up? You seem to be able to know immediately when you're being picked up. What kind of feedback are you getting, Ken, K2LIW?
What do you mean by picked up? Over.
You seem to be able to know whether or not when you come back, you're being given priority as opposed to being cut out because somebody was too quick on the trigger. Go ahead.
Because the system is completely interlocked, and it will not allow me to transmit if I'm the only person on the air. Over.
Okay. How do you know that you're the only person? In other words, you have to wait for the total system to drop. Is that what you have to hear the sound of a total drop before you transmit? And if you transmit before that, it just doesn't recognize you? Gotcha. Go ahead and transmit, Ken.
I push the transmit button and nothing happens unless it gives me priority, unless everything is dropped. And I get these big red blocks with white letters in it that says TX, and the audio VU meter now responds to my voice instead of WA5.
Okay, that VU meter you're talking about sounds like you're getting some form of feedback telling you that you are being given priority and getting through up here at this time. Am I correct?
I don't have the choice. The repeater determines when I am allowed to...
Yeah, I understand that. But are you getting any kind of a feedback during your conversation, when you start at the right time, during your conversation, are you getting any kind of a feedback letting you know that you're successful, or is it when you stop talking and let up on the equivalent of you push the talk switch, that the conversation is going on independent of you and you know you didn't make it. What kind of feedback are you getting letting you know that you are or are not successful in getting through?
There is a big red square. It has a white T and a white X in it that I'm transmitting.
That's not what he means.
Why didn't somebody tell me what I mean?
Answer, Exodus. No, to answer your question, Dick, there is no indication. We don't know. Coming through the repeater, I was tried to come in on the IRLP before. And just by luck, if you get through, that's all you know. There is no indication I'm getting through or not. My audio was a little low before because I'm still playing with the IRLP since I hooked it up last. I had it hooked up in the other place, but then I changed it over. Still haven't set up the audio. That's why my audio was too low. But and then I switched to the jack radio, which goes through the 147.37. Also has a delay, which I didn't know, because otherwise I would have gone through the mine. But no, there is no, to answer your question, there is no indication. Just by luck, if I get through, that's fine. I tried probably about, oh, I don't know, 15 times to get through, and eventually I got through, but my audio was low, and then you guys got into the conversation and stuff like that. But yeah, no, there's no indication.
I thank you for that information, Robert. Kent, you've got it. And are you able to ship off your article that's due tomorrow morning? Your antenna article?
Okay, there we go. No, it's about half finished, trying to finish it up here tonight. In part, one of the other guys is talking about clandestine or hidden antennas, HARs, as they put on government. I was put on a hidden radio system. I knew back in the late 50s when they had marked police cars, and they placed the curb feelers, 400 meg antennas, back when 400 megs was really not too many people were listening to that. I had a heck of a time finding a car with a curb feeler that I could photograph for the article.
Yeah, I think you're saying curb feelers don't exist anymore. That is interesting. Do the car manufacturers trust everybody to drive in a way that's not going to be damaging the wheels? Or there's no few, there are very few curbs nowadays. And I guess that curb feeler used to make a sort of a characteristic scraping sound. I think there are people that put devices like that in their garage to know when they're the right distance from the back wall of the garage. I'm not going to be here too much longer. Back to you, Kent, for any other words. WB5VJB, K2LIW.
Well, several reasons. One, we don't tend to have large hubcaps that protrude out away beyond the rim like we once did. Next, parallel parking itself is very good, the curb feeler issue. But finally found one, on a 57 Chevy at a shop in Fort Worth. Got some photographs of it. Something different. And also talking about slot antennas. There's one Kylon bushings trunk lid. You can put the trunk into an antenna. Oh, well. I'll do all the droids. Was doing some calculations on that ball coil that they were using as a band separator on those fiberglass antennas. Self capacitance of the coil just about makes it a filter at that frequency. I was assuming it was just the inductance of it being, but if you trade capacitance for that, it comes out very, very close to all I've got. K2RAW to B5DJB.
Okay, so just the straight capacitance was resonating the coil, so-called loading coil or trap coil on this multi-band ground plane antenna. Found a curb feeler in a car that was in a shop, a 1957 car in a shop in Dallas. Why was the car in the shop? Sounds like it's a classic automobile, maybe being serviced, or was it in a museum? Why was there a 1957 car in a shop and you happened to be there? Back to you for a final on that one, Ken.
We're back in Fort Worth, actually. That antenna company had a, in Fort Worth that I got a small lab at, had a test station go down. I went over to fix that Friday. and I was leaving, there was a shop on the same road, not 100 yards down, that rebuilds old cars. They had a Chevy Super Sport, and I drove a 63 Chevy Super Sport, 60,000 miles. They strip it down to the frame, sandblast everything, repaint it, put in new upholstery, put in another engine, and rebuilt it. And he had a 57 Chevy there that was being rebuilt. It had a curb feeler that had been taken off another car that was along with all his junk and stuff that he had from the 30s and stuff. And he went over and put it on the 57 Chevy and let me take some photos of it real quick. That was certainly the weirdest question he'd been asked of the day. WA5BJP.
Guys, I remember that curb feeler. It used to be a stiff piece of wire with about four turns at the base for it to have springiness, maybe five turns. And I seem to remember there was a red bulbous chunk of plastic or something at the far end on some of them. Maybe some of them are just a wire on the end that scrapes against the curb and makes a characteristic sound. What was on the end of this curb feeler, Ken?
A photo of it is about to be in your in-basket.
Okay, it's time to go look at your big dig in Grand Prairie. I'll close this down. Look at what kind of email I've been getting. You probably saw that I put out a set of words for these guys that want to do reconditioning of 4CX250B tubes, and they're talking about doing it without the air supply turned on, which I think is risky. Yes, sir. Good to know. 447-200, your so-called repeater. I think you said there was a guy in Nevada and a guy in California. Do you think they wanted to ask questions? And by what means did they find out about the technet, do you think? Eric, go ahead. Okay, we're going to have to start doing that in the future.
Turned it over directly to Mel.
Yeah, turns out that I haven't been looking at my email during the net. I'm busy enough just finding people's call letters on QIZ.com because some guys don't tell me their name. And if you don't pass it over to them and give them their name, they pick up at the wrong time, I find out. Why is talking to Mel about stock markets versus sunspots more important? Taking questions from the listeners. Okay. I have a ham in Connecticut who has been trying to check in for 2 hours. I have carried out a separate text conservation on EchoLink. Now you are talking about cold air on your neck. Yeah. We got into cabbages and kinks tonight, Kim. Let's see now. I still haven't seen your picture of your hole in your hole yet.
Hi. You may, well, if you look at file sizes, it's one of the larger ones, which is right next to the curb feeler one. Guy in Connecticut did mention you went nearly an hour without identifying as well. KTRIW, Whiskey America 5, Victor, Juliet, Bravo.
Okay, I'm now looking at a picture of curb feelers. There's a pair of them. I guess they had two of them coming out of the side of the car just to make sure if you break off one. Very stiff looking chunk of spirally wound strip of, what is that, steel? It looks like it's copper plated, but a lot of road salt corrosion or something there. I didn't know they put them out in pairs, Kent. Go ahead.
And to exit it.
Yeah, that one scrapes in stereo. It was quite rusty. He'll sandblast it and paint it by BGB.
I'm still looking for a picture of the hole in the hall of your house, and I don't think I've seen that yet.
Gotta watch out for the guys in Connecticut. And to Exodus. Dick, you got a question? You got a second for one more question? You have a 30-second question.
Yeah, go ahead. Boy, am I forgetful. Robert.
That's okay, no problem. I've been here for a while. Question was, on that offset dipole, does it matter which side I feed the center of the coax, or which side? Because I have the lateral line and then I have the coax. Question is, which side, does it matter if it's the short side or the long side that I feed the center? I'm assuming the center coax would be on the long side of the wire.
Not necessarily. When you study the word Windom, W-I-N-D-O-M, antenna, Windom dipole as it's sometimes called, some of those details will be revealed to you. Also, if you are a American Radio Relay League member, you're allowed to check into their website and look at all of their archives. And in the QEX magazine of either this current issue or one issue ago, off-center fed dipoles was the technical article in QEX magazine. So you've got at least two different ways of finding out very specific information of how to properly feed off-center fed dipoles. Back to you, Robert.
Okay, very good. Fortunately or unfortunately, I have a job that I don't do anything between 10 in the evening and about 3 in the morning, so I'll be able to research. I will look at the Windom. I did have another question about some amplifiers. I don't know what's your background about that. I was listening to you. I guess I'll run that to you guys. Like building a communication hotsets or / Motorola amplifier, 300 watts HF amplifier. Unluckily, I think I blew the one of the transistors. But anyway, I guess I'll run it by you guys. Thanks for the help, and you guys have an interesting conversation. Just love any other people more. Hi. And to Exodus, back to you.
Okay, Robert, and we'll see you next week. Any closing comments you want to make, Kent, before I start modulating the pillow? Mr. DJB, KQIYW. And as I said, I still don't have a picture of your hall. If you said you sent one to me, I'm a little confused.
I just sent a second one labeled the Big Egg. We're also hoping that we can be out through the wire before the next dark of the moon. Sometimes we feel like we're in Starlight 17 or something. Concrete itself is just over the beams. Right next to there is about 16-inch concrete. Perfect, man. Started right where 2D lost my life. K2RIW, WA5.
Yep, now I see the hole. And by the way, the Big Dig, you've only sent me one of those just now. There wasn't an earlier one. You may have thought you mailed me one, but you didn't. I see the great big steel bar that you use for pounding the concrete. I guess I'm seeing what used to be your rug and padding and whatever. I see the two rebars, I see the hole, I see the dirt underneath, and I presume you've already put a mirror down there and you've looked in all directions and no pipe at this time. And I see at least one of the buckets of stuff. You've got white walls in your house with, I thought I was looking at the molding in the corners, but I don't know what I'm looking at there. Over to you, Ken, K2LAW.
There is nothing under, there is no airspace under the house that I didn't, we didn't dig out. There is no space. The concrete was poured directly onto the sand. We've dug a lot out. Now, that bar was used later. We've got a high amperage electric jackhammer that was used to that concrete, and it took a long time. That much harder concrete than he was expecting, which made me feel a lot better. We ended up having to drill a lot of holes with a hammer drill and then use that hammer to go between the holes out. It was about, that hole was nearly 4 hours of work. That was the fun part. And the sand is moist under there, but we haven't been able to find where the devil existed. Also quite amazed that we find the pipe. I did hook up a 500 kilohertz transmitter to the pipe, and then we went around there with a AM broadcast radio trying to find it. It tumbles into the rebar and didn't work as well as we'd hoped. There are some lower frequency actual pipe finders that we're going to see. Also building up stereo stuff. It's got two pickup pads, or whatever you want to call them, down on the concrete. So that allows you to listen to them.
I vaguely remember you told me you used a stereo acoustic detecting equipment to do the very first acoustic detection, and that equipment, I guess, is no longer available to you.
Back to other disasters. Hey, you are at the end of A5B.
Very good. That acoustic stereo system you used to detect the leak the first time, I think, is no longer available to you. Can you, with the parts you buy in Radio Shack, build up one for yourself or reborrow the equipment you used the first time? It looks like it's time to listen for the leak one more time before you do any more digging. What do you think?
Plan to do that tomorrow. Take your normal doctor stethoscope. Have one pickup, it comes to a Y, and then go here. Then have two pickups and directly to your ear. And one on the left side, one on the right side. And you put them about a foot apart, and you hear around underneath the slab in stereo.
And I think you're saying you personally heard that stereo in the past, and it's time to go listen to it again. In the very bottom right-hand corner of the picture of the hole is not only the great big pipe, a very strong, spiky-like thing. I forget what they call that weapon they used to use in medieval times that was like that. But what is that tool to the right of it? I can't make that out. Go ahead.
That is an Army-issue trenching tool. You unscrew that little hand thing, and you make it into a shovel, you make it into a pick, you make it into the shovel from whatever angle you want. Yeah, well, it was really good for digging down underneath there.
Okay, are there various things you put on the end of that? You've got the pick on there now, and the shovel is not there, is that true?
Okay, you'll see that both implements have 90-degree flat sides. Right up there at the end, you have a large nut there. You unscrew that, and you flip them around however you want them. At the moment, the shovel blade is all the way back. It works best at the 90-degree angle.
Okay. So you're about to make yourself another stethoscope, and when it comes to the tubing and the thing that goes into the ear, that's relatively easy. The bottom of the stethoscope, the thing that normally goes across the person's chest, how do you build that thing, Kent? Go ahead.
Well, I have a stethoscope. I used to use it to listen to the kids' lungs to see if they had bronchitis. And the guy with the jackhammer who made the hole is a, not quite a fire chief, a fire lieutenant with Burlington, and a full-blown EMP. We have plenty of parts for building stuff.
If you didn't have those friendly guys contributing raw materials to you, where would you go to buy the bottom part of the kind of stethoscope that you need? I guess you could make a poor man's equivalent by taking a frozen orange juice can, establishing a small piece of tubing where the rubber tubing goes to, and over the mouth of it put a balloon with a rubber band. Would that be the beginning of a stethoscope? Go ahead.
Well, I wouldn't even bother to put a balloon over the open end. That's not particularly necessary to keep, unless we're trying to keep dirt out or something, which is for listening. Yeah, it would be possible to build one larger, shall we say, capture area up that with those. And if I needed to get the parts, there's several hospitals around here, and around hospital there are a variety of buy houses that sell things for taking care of patients at home. Stethoscopes are readily available. SIV, JB.
Do you have records that indicate that before 1:36 a.m. my time, why does it say 1? For some crazy reason, the timing on what you sent me is 1:36 a.m., it says, 136.54, Big Dig. You have records indicating that you've mailed me a copy of Big Dig earlier tonight? I've got things from Ken Britton called AB1RXA, Young Hams, Antennas, Judge Watch the ISS, Passover. If you don't like it, just turn your rig off. I think you are wrong. Now, those are the messages you mailed me tonight, but I don't see any other message from you labeled Big Dig. Does your records claim that you've already mailed one to me? Go ahead.
No, it does not. I sent that picture to Fortville. I just called it up, and you were not one of the 14. I assumed you were one of the 14. Had I would have intended, but no, you were not one of the 14 he met to, where I was making comments about the escape attempts and our tunnel and some more. Life sentence.
Wow. So you thought you sent it to me. All right. And I wasn't on part of the inner list of the people who got it first. All righty. All's well, Ken. Thank you. Bye-bye for now. And I think I'm going to go modulate the pillow. It's only 11:30 Eastern Daylight Time in Dallas, but I said 11:50. It's 11:50 to you, but it's 12:50 to me. Bye-bye, you all.
Bye-bye.
Disconnected.
Good morning. The time is 1 a.m.
Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30. The time is 1:23 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is...